Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Focus on Albany. I'm Cynthia Pooler. My guest is Gary Greenberg. And Gary Greenberg is running for the New York State Senate. What district?
46th.
In the 46th Senatorial District. And Gary's here to talk about his story, which is very interesting. So, Gary, you didn't get the Democratic nod by just a few signatures, right?
Correct. Yes, we filed petitions and 337, and some of them were for in New York State very trivial technical reasons, like, you know, one looked like a three, or an I wasn't dotted, or T wasn't crossed.
What?
So, yeah, that's very archaic, the New York State laws. New York State has more election law lawsuits than any other state. So it was ruled that I only, out of the 337, only 291 were valid, and I needed 300. And so there was no primary against myself and Michelle Hinchey. Now, Hinchey, when my petitions were objected to, stated to the local news media that her campaign had nothing to do with the objections. Lo and behold, when on July 15th, when she filed her financial reports with the New York State Board of Elections, her campaign paid Alan Goldstone $13,500, plus she paid the court fees of $320 and other fees. So she obviously didn't tell the truth when she said that she didn't object to my petition. She did. She paid for the lawyer, and she was just scared to face me in a one-on-one primary.
So you guys have been slugging it out from the very beginning. And, you know, the Democratic parties in the different counties are favoring Hinchey. Do you know why that is?
Well, not particularly. I mean, since I helped the New York State Senate Democrats, my wife and I spent our retirement money to support New York State Senate Democratic candidates in 2016-2018, and children went around the state and held at least 18 rallies with Senate Democratic candidates to help flip the Senate. I did that because the Republicans in the Senate wouldn't pass the Child Victims Act and Aaron's Law and other laws that I wanted to see passed. So, you know, why I didn't garner the support and why basically I was bullied out of the race by the five counties. Committee people were told not to carry my petitions. We didn't have one committee person in Greene County, carry where I'm from. They were told not to carry my petitions. Schenectady, Albany, Montgomery, Ulster. And so, process to get the signatures when you have, you know, five county chairmen, chair people telling their committee people not to help me. In other areas of the state, such as down in Suffolk County, Westchester County, the county chairman allowed all candidates to get on the ballot, to carry for all the Democrats. That was the proper way to go. And if they had done that, then the people would have decided this. The Democratic voters of the 46th district would have had a voice on June 23rd. They would have went to the polls, or they would have sent their absentee ballots in and made the decision. But that isn't how it went. Michelle Hinchey wanted to obstruct justice and paid 10%. She raised money, and she paid for that. She took campaign contributions and used them against me to get me out of the race.
And Michelle Hinchey, did she know the efforts that you went through to get this passed?
I'm sure she did. I'm sure she did. She claims that she got in the race first, you know, before I got in, and you know, we didn't know if George Amador was going to run in the first place. And the second place,
mm-hmm.
I was down in the Capitol working as hard as I could to get, you know, the Child Victims Act passed, Aaron's Law, and other laws passed. And so, you know, I couldn't make that decision until after the legislative session. I wanted to wait and see what Senator Amador was going to do. And I got in the race in December, and they told me that it already was decided. They had already decided on Michelle, and, you know, they slammed the door in my face. And so for this behavior, hostile behavior, when he went around to the different committees and the way they, you know, treated my wife and I, you know, I'm going to continue this campaign, and we're seeking an independent line and or a write-in candidacy. But first we're going to attempt to get a independence line. The governor reopened the process. He had independence line petitioning, but on June 30th, he opened it back up, and we've been out petitioning to get the independent line.
So how many signatures do you need to get on the ballot for the independent line?
2,100 currently. So as you know, and as I learned through the Democratic petitioning, in this state you need about double. So I would say you would, because the way the laws are written in this state, first of all, they don't allow electronic signing. I think many other states have gone to that where a voter, especially in this pandemic, where the voter could go onto their computer or phone and sign electronically to support a candidate. This state hasn't allowed that. So it's very difficult to go to people's houses and knock on their door when you have, you know, I was just watching County Executive McCoy said, you know, 27 positive cases new in Albany County. And so, you know, that's part of my district. So it's impossible to go door to door, and I'm not sending anyone out door to door to get the signatures. It's just we're doing it by, you know, email, mailing out petitions to people and asking them to get, you know, their friends and, you know, people they see. We've done some supermarket, you know, it's hard even to do that. People don't want to come within, you know, close, use a pen.
Right.
So it's a very difficult process, and I've asked the governor to even reduce the threshold to get the 2,100. I'd like to see it reduced to 900 because he reduced parties usually have to get 1,000. He reduced that to 300, which is 70%. But when it came to the independent line petitions, he only reduced it by 30%. So 3,000 or 30% is 2,100. I'd like to see him reduce it the same 70% as he did the political for the political parties back in March, and that would reduce it to 900 signatures. And I think that would be fair. Then you would have the political parties, he reduced, you know, 70%, and now the independence line, he reduced 70%, particularly with the environment in it. And it's impossible, practically, it was impossible back in March to get people to go out, particularly not being backed by, you know, the political parties. It was impossible then, and it's impossible now even worse because people are scared and what's going on in the country, and everybody's, and it's understandable. Every day you hear that, you know, the other states, it's getting worse. The governor, you know, says it's a national crisis. You know, it's a national crisis. Why is Governor Cuomo sending petitioners out to, you know, want inspectors to go to houses and get 2,100 signatures? If it's a national crisis, then you go to electronic signing. And that's what I'm urging this governor to do. I mean, on one hand, he's saying, you know, you have to be safe, you have to wear a mask, you have to, you know, social distancing. But on the other hand, he's saying, well, to get the independence line, you have to go out and, you know, do the door-to-door. So it's a double standard, and he should correct that.
Have you spoken to any of the county chairmen? What's their you know, reaction to the fact of what's going on?
Well, they don't want me to run. They haven't wanted me to run from day one. They've been against my candidacy. So you know, that doesn't stop me because I feel that the people of this district should have the final decision on who is going to be their state senator come November. I have the qualifications. I fought for the Child Victims Act. I fought for Aaron's Law. I'm a land owner here in Greene County. I was born in Greene County in the district, and you know, Michelle Hinch, she time and time again has shown she lacks the experience, has no legislative record. I was an Albany County legislator. And then there's a Republican opponent who thinks he's going to win because his name is close to Amador, but he spells it, you know, differently, A-M-E-D-U-R-E. You know, he doesn't have any legislative experience, and his campaign is being run by the state Senate Republicans who are supporters of President Trump. So I don't think the district particularly would want that, you know, kind of representation in this district. So I feel I'm the most qualified candidate. I'm not a yes person. I try to, as I've shown, I have a record of taking on the church, of taking on the insurance companies, of taking on special interest groups. I took on the governor, and I think it's just they don't want me, you know, the lobbyists, the political establishment, the Democratic Party leaders, the county chairman, they don't want me in the seat because I'm not a yes person. I'm a person that goes down and fights for what I believe in. And I get through laws that I got done. Child Victims Act lingered for decades in Aaron's Law in the state, and I was able to, and one of them was for the Child Victims Act was being held up in the Republican Senate, but Aaron's Law was being held up in the Assembly, the Democrat. And so I was able to, you know, work with both parties I can work with. I have a proven record of that when I was a legislator in Albany County, a county legislator. And, you know, I can represent people. I can get the New York State Health Care Act passed in this state. So everybody has good health care, everybody, every citizen. And I can get laws passed to protect this environment. I supported Assemblywoman Fahey's Environmental Bond Act, increased even over what the governor proposed, I think $3 billion. She proposed more. I want to see more money pumped into this district, not to protect the environment. This district has a high rate of opiate deaths, farmers committing suicide, and it's even gotten worse with the coronavirus. So, you know, George Amador did a good job at that. He was on, you know, he was, I think, chairman of the opiate problem there, and so I want to continue those efforts to get money into this district to fight dealers and keep the drugs out and get the people therapy that need therapy. And so there's a lot of problems in this district. There's a lot of problems in society, in the state, upstate. And we can't take a risk on someone, two candidates that have no legislative or really political experience in how the Capitol works. I'm ready to go down to the Capitol. I've been there for the last 5 years fighting, protecting children. I think I'm a champion of the Child Victims Act and Aaron's Law, which Child Victims Act will for decades help protect kids away, get abusers off the street. Child sexual abuse is a major problem, and I believe it's causing a lot of the opiate problems we have in this society. And also, Aaron's Law is mandatory this September, so Aaron's Law is named after Aaron Marin. It's in many states, and it's mandatory now in New York State that children, I believe it's K through 8th grade, will receive mandatory training on good touch, bad touch, person of authority. You know that this person did that to you, even though this person, this monster, will tell you not to tell anybody. It's okay to tell. So those are two major laws that I helped bring to the state. Also, many other good laws have passed in the state as a result of my work going across New York supporting Democratic senators. You know, I'm ready to go down to Albany the first day, roll up my sleeves, and fight for the people of this district, the 46th district, and get their share of education funding and all sorts of funding, broadband, increased broadband. I've been around the district and certain areas, there's very poor broadband. And in this environment, everybody needs good broadband. So I'm ready to go in there and fight for that. I have ideas on how we can increase income, and I'm ready to do that, and I want to do it.
Have you spoken to anybody about possibly debating your opponents?
Yes, I'm willing to debate my opponents, yes. And I hope they agree to debate, and we'll have debates and let the voters of the district decide who is the best person to represent them.
So, you know, in light of the pandemic, you have to get an awful lot of signatures. And if that doesn't pan out, you're saying you're going to do a write-in? Is that difficult,
yes.
Do you think?
Yes, I'll do a write-in. Yes, I'll be on, and the people will be able to vote for me in November. I'll do a write-in if we don't get on the independence line. I think we will get on the independence line, but if we don't, like I said, I'm sure once I submit my petitions, just like with my Democratic ones, they'll be objected to, and high-powered New York City lawyers, hired by my opponent, either Hinchy or Amador, will come in and object to them, I'm sure. And we'll see. But definitely, I think that as a result of, what is going on here with the election petitioning and the process, I'm not the only candidate who was, affected by the coronavirus situation, that this state has to go to electronic signing. There's no reason why people in this day and age can't go to their computer and sign. And this would take the power, really, of the bullying away from the county committees and the county chair people, because, they use the petitions. They force the committeemen out to go collect the signatures for the candidates that they want, because a lot of these jobs in the town, they're on planning boards. And, even though they want to support you, they're threatened. So if they don't go out and support the candidate that the county chairman wants you to support, or your town chairman, and then they're told, well, we'll take your planning board position away. We'll primary you for your committeeman seat. So if you can have electronic signing where people can just go on and sign for the candidate they want, this will open up the process more. And I think that's what we have to do in New York, open up the election laws. For far too long in this state, the insiders, the establishment, they've had they control everything. And it doesn't have to be that way. I mean, look at the situation we're in because of the two parties, Even with the coronavirus, it's become a political issue. It's ridiculous. People are dying. They're arguing about, between each other, the political parties. They can't even come to a resolution on things. So, people have to take their government back. It's just not working the way it is today. So, I want to get down to Albany and bring those changes and make, upstate New York what it can be.
Now, do you think that because we're in this pandemic, people are sick, people are dying, and the political system has not lowered the bar any? Do you think this is voter suppression?
It could. Yeah, it's people are depressed, yes. And that's why you have more opium, more suicide.
No. Voter suppression. You think that the politicians are using this as a way to not have people come to the polls or sign petitions?
Are they using the coronavirus?
Right.
To me, you wouldn't allow anybody out to go out and get signatures in this environment. I mean, the state of Vermont did that. So they suspended the the petitioning process, you know, altogether. You know, my campaign suggested that early on, you know, candidates that had filed with the Board of Elections, had raised money, you know, had made the effort to go out, just allow them on the ballot and let the people decide. Don't be going out and getting signatures. So, yes, in that respect, the coronavirus, you know, it has kept, you know, it has favored political party candidates because they have the committeemen and someone that doesn't has to go out and rely on individuals that aren't even affiliated with political parties that but want to help you. Those people, so, you know, are more at risk and it's harder for them. So, yes, they have used the coronavirus.
So, ultimately, in your case, the fact that you're not being embraced, even though you worked hard to flip the state Senate, get an important law passed, who do you think is ultimately responsible for the fact that you're not being embraced by the Democratic Party in your district?
Oh, I think a lot of it is, as I said, that, you know, I can be boisterous. I can be, you know, fight for people. You know, like I said, I took on very powerful interest groups, the church. You know, I stood up to the governor because I wanted the law passed. So, you know, I wanted these laws passed. So, you know, I think it's a combination of you know, the establishment, the Democratic Party leaders, you know, lobbyists and different factions, mainly the establishment. You know, these insiders who benefit off of the system we have today, and sometimes, as we've seen in the past, it can become corrupt. That every individual is corrupt. That is, but the system that we have tends to lead to corruption, and you know, we have to change some of these laws to take the so much power in New York with the insiders, the establishment, you know, back to the people and give them more rights and who they're gonna choose to. Very few people actually choose who their representatives is, because in this case, you know, Hinchey was able, you know, use the election law against me, denying the people a right to choose. So, you know, so Hinchey automatically became the Democratic nominee without even having a primary. And, you know, a lot of in other districts, too, this happens. So, you know, people don't vote. The non-enrolled in this state, people that don't enroll in a political party, really have very little if they want to stay independent, because in a lot of areas, the primaries decide who the candidates are. And so, you know, they're given these candidates, oh, we have to vote, you know, and in other California, I think, has open primaries where, you know, non-enrolls can vote. And so there can be changes made to open up the process, and I think you would see a better form of government in New York. I mean, you know, the governor, he's done a lot of good, you know, with the coronavirus, but we still have to look at, you know, over 32,000 people died in New York State. I mean, that's a lot
right.
of people. I mean, that's nothing to
right.
celebrate. I mean, that, you know, that's heartbreaking, and a lot of them were in nursing homes, and so, you know, there's a lot of work to be done in this state to improve it. And, you know, like I said, I'm ready to roll up my sleeves and get down there.
So all of the legislators that stood by you when you would do press conferences, has any one of them contacted you about the situation you're in right now?
No, not one of them.
No. I just can't fathom this. This is terrible. So,
that's the way I'm saying. That's the way this we have in this New York State is we have these senators and assembly people, and they run spend 80% of their time running around fundraising and you know, trying to get money for their campaigns and you know and these type things. And you know, if you have more money, you can, you know, you can get more done. And but you know, so you know, more influence, the richer people have more influence. You know, this is another thing that needs to be changed. And in the court systems, if you have money, you know, you can get better justice than, you know, than a person without any money, and all these type you know, situations, you know, finance reform, campaign finance reform we need, election law changes we need, to open up the process and give the average citizen a better chance of, you know, I know a lot of people that might run for political office, but, you know, they don't want to get involved in all, like, they don't want to go through what I went through, you know, with the committee people.
Okay.
And or that whole crazy, insane process of what I had to go through, my family had to go through. It's just, you know, not correct. It's not the way to go. So, it's not going to come up with the best candidate.
I welcome your opponents to come on Focus on Albany, Mr. Amador and Michelle Hinchy, to come on Focus on Albany and to talk about, you know, what they're working on it and their thoughts about the political process in your Senate district. So we have a minute left, Gary. Can you give us your contact information in case anybody wants to help you?
Sure. My website is www.greenberg, forny, you know, .com, that's all together, Greenberg for New York. You can email me at Greenberg, G, capital G, and then my last name, GREENBERG, 21@AOL.com. And I wanted to say this, too. You know, one of the things that I wanted to get out in the primary was Michelle Hinchy's voting record. She has a terrible voting record. In 2018, there was two big elections in this district, one for Eden O'Connor, in a special election in April 2018, Eden lost, I think, under 300 votes. Michelle Hinchy never bothered to vote. And in 2018, there was a federal congressional primary to decide this district, the 19th district that most of the 46th is in, had John Faso, the Democratic Party, and made this a key, you know, to take over the House, a key seat. There was a multi-candidate primary in June 2018 to decide a Democratic candidate who would run against John Faso. Michelle Hinchy was a no-show. She didn't vote in 2017. She's never voted in a presidential primary. She has a terrible voting record. And I mean, coming from a political family like she has, you would think that, you know, it would be more on her. I remember with Carolyn Kennedy, I don't know if you remember, one of the issues that she got knocked out of running for senator here in New York is that she had a terrible voting record. So, I mean, the only time Michelle Hinchy decided to vote was when she decided she wanted to be a state senator. That isn't the way to go. We need somebody myself, I've never missed an election. Teen, I registered and I've voted in every election and primary. This is the kind of commitment I've always had, and this is why I want to go to the New York State Senate.
Okay, Gary, thank you for being on Focus on Albany, and thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you.